Kia ora, Peter, how are you?
Kia ora, very well, thank you, and glad to be talking to you.
Oh, I'm glad to be talking to you. Not for any other reason, really, other than I keep getting told off by people for having you off air. So you're back now, and the crisis is over. All is as it's meant to be, as they say. I got a little glimpse at what we're talking about today, and I'm actually not surprised because I can't remember a last time there was a more visible religious gathering happening. And I don't mean necessarily the fact that they're all gathering in one place. I mean that I've been seeing these lanyards everywhere I go, and I need to know what the heck is going on.
Yes, it is quite amazing. The first time I went past Near Eden Park, I thought, oh, I didn't know there was cricket on Friday. And, It was better than a cricketing crowd, actually, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. I've seen people out in the world. I haven't actually gone past Eden Park, but let's rewind for people who don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This
was a huge international Seventh-day Jehovah's Witness. Let's get this category right. Jehovah's Witness rally, or convention as they call it, that was held in Eden Park, attracting, I believe, 23,000 people. That's their figures, including 3,500 people from out of New Zealand.
Wow. Yeah, because I see the lanyards, and then I hear people like with different accents, and everyone's sort of very, very polite, like, you know, and I've been seeing a lot more people getting stopped on the street, kind of talking about religion and that sort of stuff. It's very, very present and visible. Is this normal? I don't think I've seen this before.
No, as far as I can recall, I have a feeling there may have been a convention in New Zealand once before, but it's certainly the first time for a long time that there has been a convention. Jehovah's Witnesses have been in New Zealand since the 1920s, although there's a few indications there might have been some. The thing is, they only officially changed their name into Jehovah's Witnesses in 1931.
Yeah.
And so there's a few examples of the previous name of Bible Students in the New Zealand census, which I've always wished I could find out who they were.
Mm.
They had quite a history in New Zealand. In World War II, they achieved the unusual distinction of being the only religion officially suppressed ever in New Zealand.
Suppressed.
They were declared to be a danger to society.
Wow.
And their civil rights were withdrawn, and those who went door to door or in any way pushed their faith were subject to prosecution. It began with a case in, of all places, Oamaru in the South Island.
Wow.
The Oamaru events, which were public meetings to publicise their faith, were regarded as seditious because the Jehovah's Witnesses take a number of distinctive stands on political and social issues, and one of them is that they will not be involved in warfare under human enlisting. Of course, if the King of Kings were to come by, if Jehovah were to
enlist
immediately,
but
not them.
Not just the plain old king.
Most certainly not. Because in effect, it's their doctrine is that they're the people being prepared for the end of the world.
Mm.
And so it is their privilege to be the sole people who will escape the great conflagration, the burning into fire of the earth on the last days.
Oh, right.
Of that group, in fact, the elite, 144,000, have long since been identified. And so the ones who are at the convention today, few of them would have any hopes of being in the 144,000 who had untainted white robes. but they would hope to dwell on the earth after the conflagration.
Right. Okay.
It's a pretty strong view. The interesting thing is, it's remarkably popular. I mean, when you think about how extreme their views are, they really have significant numbers. Their numbers haven't been growing, particularly in recent years, but they're sitting at 18,000 people, which leads me to do a very interesting calculation. That was in the census in 2023. So I would say every single one of them came to this convention in Auckland because if there are 3,500 from overseas, you know, it kind of, there's some calculations to be done. There's not enough people to fill them.
Yeah, yeah. It seems to be very much like, much like kind of, you know, family to family, right? It's if you grow up Jehovah's Witness, you really have to, because it's one of the most sort of strict religions in terms of if you go against it, you're out of the family, and so people don't leave, do they?
Yeah, it is very high demand, and so their attitude to blood transfusions, for example, is one that can, you know, it's the refusal of blood transfusions means that parents may choose to leave rather than do this, or may lose their child in tragic circumstances.
Mm.
And you see, another very interesting thing about the Jehovah's Witnesses is that they had a specific volume in the Child Sex Royal Commission,
right,
devoted to Jehovah's Witnesses and the ways in which their elders are really coercive in the way that they treat their young people. And the Jehovah's Witnesses did not accept this report and went to court several times trying to have this report suppressed. They failed, and it has been published, though I think there may still be ongoing litigation.
Mm.
They believe that they're lily white. Others would say that there is, for example, the treatment of LGBT people would be, I mean, brutal in the extreme.
Yeah.
And in some other cases, although they never had the orphanages or, you know, care of children in the way that a lot of the bigger churches had that produced coercion. So that's why they felt they were hard done by, picked out. But certainly there was some very striking evidence given to the Royal Commission that they felt they had to expose them.
Mm.
But, I mean, overall, the reputation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, they really are quite meticulously careful in the way in which they behave towards others. And I mean, I've had some dealings in trying to collect statistical information from them. And I've always found them extremely courteous and helpful. I have to go through the Sydney office. And see, it is quite interesting. I wasn't approached in the street. Do you think quite a number of people were approached in the street?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's just a combination of, like literally as I was walking from my car to the station, there were two people. Two people had kind of cornered a young lady at the lights, and were like, "I just heard, you know, I just heard what you normally hear," and sort of,
yes, okay, yes.
Why we proclaim our faith and so on. And I have seen a lot of people with these, the faith convention. Is that what it's called? The faith convention. Lanyards,
yes,
on.
I guess so. Mm. Yes, the lanyard. excuse me. Now, see, what's interesting is that a condition of being able to enter the new world after the Armageddon,
mm-hmm,
is that you are a publisher of the good news. And a publisher of the good news is one who shares the Jehovah's Witness gospel with people outside of the faith.
Mm.
And so it is really quite important. This is why you will get you probably had this experience, I've certainly had this experience of a mother with children standing at the doorstep, and giving you a piece of literature. Of course, the average age of Jehovah's Witnesses is probably on the older side.
Yeah.
That's, the impression that I've gained, and the census seems to bear that out. And perhaps that's not surprising, because they do seem to have a particular attraction to people who've been through hard times.
Right.
Largely a working class or poor community. It's very interesting that you will always find in a small European village or town, like Taihape, you'll find a Jehovah's Witness hall.
Mm.
Of course, in some parts of the north, it'll be Latter-day Saints halls that you'll find. The two, to some extent, compete with each other.
Right.
But there's much greater slickness, of course, with the Latter-day Saints than with Jehovah's Witnesses. They're governed by a governing board in New York, although they've just moved out of Brooklyn, I believe, into some kind of regional place.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1975, as in 1918, they announced that this was the year when the end of the world was going to take place.
Oh, this one, this year.
1975 and back in 1918. No, they've made no such announcement. They've learned their lesson.
Oh, sorry. They've already called it, and it's
they've called it, yeah, and had to backtrack.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was this year, but let's just see. I have. May I ask you a question that somebody's, often with these conversations, we get people texting and saying, "Well, what about something else?" Unrelated to what we're talking about, but this is a fair question that maybe we can pursue another time. But, you know, when you said that was the first suppression, religious suppression of note, somebody texted and saying, what about the Tohunga Suppression Act, though, which I just quickly Googled and appeared to be like early in the 1900s.
Well, Tohunga Suppression Act suppressed a Māori healing practices, but I don't believe anybody was ever prosecuted under that act.
Right. But it was, faith healers, I suppose, of a sort, right?
Yes, that's right. And faith healers also, under legislation, which may still be current, it's still illegal to be a faith healer.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if that's true anymore, but it certainly was true the last time I looked. So, yes, the Tohunga Suppression Act.
I mean, that's a conversation for another show, maybe, but it's an interesting story.
It is. But it was quite extraordinary and quite shocking, I think, for Jehovah's Witnesses to find themselves in such difficulties in New Zealand. They certainly never expected it. And they were very anxious. It was finally in 1947 that they visited the Parliament, and Parliament granted them legal recognition. So it took some time after World War II for them to gain their freedom. And, I mean, in essence, the issue seems to have been that they were causing disruption because they were suggesting you didn't have to fight. And the government of the day, the Labour government today, was exceptionally nervous about anybody who would undermine the willingness to fight. So, actually, I've just picked up the information on their own website, which is worth looking at, under Jehovah's Witness New Zealand, that a 78-year-old man who was going door-to-door in Oamaru was the first person prosecuted under that act.
Oh.
And so you can imagine the extraordinary bitterness that caused. Now, see, part of the issue here is that we come at issues like this with our very clear sense of this is nonsense or this is whatever, you know? And I saw a piece on TV. The two were oddly juxtaposed, the pleasant story about the Jehovah's Witnesses on the TV One News on Sunday night. But back on Saturday night, or was it Friday night, there was a hot little piece from the group that calls itself, is it Cult Watch or Decult, that There should be legislation to stop the activity of groups that they deem as cults. And, of course, obviously, Jehovah's Witnesses were regarded as a cult in times gone by. They probably wouldn't take this approach today. But actually, in terms of the way they operate, you know, a totally closed group with strict rules to control their membership.
Yeah, and if you leave, you're ostracized. And
That's right. And so is this any different from Gloria Vale, you know? Really? And so it all depends kind of what are our favourite pet hates of the
moment. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Is it dorky ties and short sleeve shirts, or is it milkmaid costumes?
Yes, I think those should certainly be prescribed.
Yeah. I've had a number of people texting in from West Auckland saying that they've been having lots of visits from door knockers. So if you're out in West Auckland, which I am, I'm disappointed I haven't been visited. Maybe they've been visiting while I've been on air.
I would think that the occasion of a convention would be a chance to do a complete blitz of the whole city.
Yeah, yeah.
And being Jehovah's Witnesses, they will do so methodically, so don't worry. they will keep a note of who's not at home, and they'll get you in due course.
Oh, well, good. I'll be sure not to wear any pants when I answer the door and moving forward and make people feel delightfully uncomfortable. On that note, well, thank you very much, and welcome back. We have missed you, and we'll be back next week with more. There's plenty happening in the world. There's lots to talk about.
There certainly is. There were many possible topics for today.
Indeed. All right. Thank you, Peter, and take care, and we'll speak to you in 1 week's time.
I look forward to it.
Thank you. See
us too.
Well, we are big fans here at